Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is, the daily magazine program from VOA Learning English. Today, we hear how women in Lebanon are carrying out diplomacy in the kitchen. But first, I bring you a story about India's effort to stop families from ending pregnancies when the fetus is a girl. Prime Minister Narendra Modi has spoken out against the practice, which is causing serious social problems in the world's second most populous country. For many years, Indian families seemed more interested in having boys than girls. This choice of boys has led to many illegal abortions. Doctors were told to end a pregnancy when the fetus showed signs of being female. This custom has also led to a big problem in India. There are not enough girls compared to all the boys. The falling number of girls presents a major social issue for the country. In a strong message, Prime Minister Narendra Modi told Indians that we cannot be counted as citizens of the 21st century. He said aborting female fetuses is worse than an 18th century way of thinking, because girls are being killed even before they are born. Mr. Modi said that valuing sons above daughters is an emotional disorder, and he called for a social awakening to see girls as valuable as boys. The Prime Minister says no mother wants to do away with her child, but he adds family and social pressures make her involved in this crime. In the traditional culture in India, sons are considered a valuable resource. They can earn money for the family and take care of parents in their old age. Girls are considered a liability, bringing financial pressure on the mother and father. That is because the parents have to give a dowry, usually money or property, to the family of the girl's husband. Ultrasound technology has made knowing the sex of the unborn possible. Studies show that during the past 40 years, as many as 12 million girls may have been aborted. Mr. Modi launched the campaign to Save the Daughter, Teach the Daughter in the northern state of Haryana. The state has the lowest number of girls to boys in India, 879 for 1,000 males. The national average is 917 girls for 1,000 males. The campaign aims to reduce the sharp difference in the number of male and female births. It will seek to improve equality of the sexes through education. The program will enforce existing laws that ban the abortion of female fetuses. It will also seek to improve attendance of girls in schools. Aborting female fetuses takes place in every class of Indian society. The poor and rich, urban and rural, uneducated and educated, often want sons. In fact, researchers found that choosing to abort a female fetus is more common among educated women. They also found that religion made no difference. The International Development Research Center carried out the study. Last year, a United Nations report warned the lessening number of girls in India has reached an emergency level. It said this lack of women has caused an increase in some crimes, such as the kidnapping and trafficking of women. Next, Anna Mateo has a story about an unlikely source of diplomacy in the fighting taking place in Lebanon.
When you hear the words peace talks, what do you imagine? Perhaps you think of heads of state, diplomats, or other high government officials. But what if the peace talks looked like this? All the government officials stayed at home and instead sent their mothers and grandmothers. These women could meet in a kitchen, around a kitchen table. While the women prepare food together, they could talk about how to solve the problems between their families. A kind of mother knows best diplomacy, you might say. In a way, that is what is happening in Tripoli, Lebanon's second largest city. Years of fighting there have split some neighborhoods. The Syrian war and the actions of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad have made tensions worse. Long-running tensions in Tripoli led to new clashes in October 2014. Fighting between gunmen and the Lebanese army caused thousands of people to flee their homes. The involvement of Islamist militants in the fighting increased fears that the self-declared Islamic State was attempting to gain support in Lebanon. One street in Tripoli is on the front line of this conflict. This street divides a neighborhood along sectarian or religious lines. But between these two fighting groups is a kitchen. This kitchen is a place where women from both sides work together to earn a living. These women bring hope that years of hatred can be put aside in the name of good food. Women from the opposing sides are coming together to cook, thanks to a non-profit organization, Ruwad al-Tanmeya Lebanon. Experienced chefs helped the women complete training. Now, they are earning a living by selling their food to organizations such as the Red Cross. Sarah El-Cherif heads the organization. She says the aim is not just to unite the women, but to empower them too.
Now, in this project, they realize that now we are sharing the same pain, but now we are sharing the same purpose. So we started to share the same purpose, which is we want to get income, to generate income, in order for us to support our families financially. And when you give them the access to start empowering themselves financially, then you are empowering indirectly their family's education.
These women will continue cooking together and breaking down the barriers of hatred with each meal they make and sell. I'm Anna Mateo.
Thank you, Anna. And that's our show for today. Listen again tomorrow for another As It Is program on the Voice of America.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
Thank you. Now the VOA Special English Program, Words and Their Stories.
Cold weather has a great effect on how our minds and our bodies work. Maybe that is why there are so many expressions that use the word cold. For centuries, the body's blood has been linked closely with the emotions. People who show no human emotions or feelings, for example, are said to be cold-blooded. Cold-blooded people act in cruel ways. They may do brutal things to others, and not by accident. For example, a newspaper says the police are searching for a cold-blooded killer. The killer murdered someone, not in self-defense or because he was reacting to anger or fear. He seemed to kill for no reason and with no emotion, as if taking someone's life meant nothing. Cold can affect other parts of the body. The feet, for example. Heavy socks can warm your feet if your feet are really cold. But there is an expression, to get cold feet, that has nothing to do with cold or your feet. The expression means being afraid to do something you had decided to do. For example, you agree to be president of an organization, but then you learn that all the other officers have resigned. All the work of the organization will be your responsibility. You are likely to get cold feet about being president when you understand the situation. Cold can also affect your shoulder. You give someone the cold shoulder when you refuse to speak to them. You treat them in a distant, cold way. The expression probably comes from the physical act of turning your back toward someone instead of speaking to him face to face. You may give a cold shoulder to a friend who has not kept a promise he made to you, or to someone who has lied about you to others. A cold fish is not a fish. It is a person. But it is a person who is unfriendly, unemotional, and shows no love or warmth. A cold fish does not offer much of himself to anyone. Someone who is a cold fish could be cold-hearted. Now, a cold-hearted person is someone who has no sympathy. Several popular songs in recent years were about cold-hearted men or cold-hearted women who, without feeling, broke the hearts of their lovers. Out in the cold is an expression often heard. It means not getting something that everybody else got. A person might say that everybody but him got a pay raise, that he was left out in the cold, and it is not a pleasant place to be.
This VOA Special English Program, Words and Their Stories, was written by Marilyn Cristiano. Morris Joyce was the narrator. I'm Shirley Griffith.